This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. President Ford has scheduled a busy day before delivering his State of the Union message to Congress on Monday evening. This is Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Mr. Ford will meet with his cabinet and the National Security Council. He'll also attend a special service in the National Presbyterian Church to mark the return of Congress from Christmas vacation. At night, the president delivers what White House officials say will be a relatively optimistic State of the Union message, where he will predict continued economic growth with some decline in the rate of unemployment. The president will also warn against failure to cut federal spending. The White House officials are also quoted as saying that the president will nominate federal mediator W.J. Ussery to be the new Secretary of Labor. John Dunlop resigned as Labor Secretary last week because of Mr. Ford's veto of a construction site picketing bill that Dunlop had wanted. More news coming up.
Hi, I'm Roy Clark, remembering a very special time of life. Yet sometimes youth can hold sorrow, even tragedy. When my daughter was young, she had polio. And the only people at the time that I could turn to was the March of Dimes. The only thing they were interested in was to make sure that I couldn't afford the payments myself. I couldn't afford the payments even now. They were tremendous. The March of Dimes conquered polio in 1954. But there's still a tremendous job ahead. Their goal is the prevention of birth defects through research, education, and medical service programs. But birth defects are forever unless we help. So please give to the March of Dimes.
The civil war continues unabated in Beirut after the breakdown of the latest ceasefire and the resignation of Lebanon's premier. Rashid Karami said his government no longer was effective. Karami had consistently balked at using the Lebanese army to try to end the fighting. But on Friday, the Air Force entered the crisis, siding with the right-wing and Christian gunmen against the left-wing and Palestinian factions. Now, more Palestinians are being sent into Lebanon from Syria, as we hear from Bruno Wassertile in Tel Aviv.
Sources close to the military here have confirmed that Syrian-controlled units of the Palestine Liberation Army have crossed into Lebanon from Syria during the last few days. The PLA is claimed by officers of the Syrian army and cannot move without approval from Damascus. It's believed that the PLA units were sent in to bolster Palestinian and leftist Muslim forces now that the critical stage in the Lebanese civil war appears to have been reached. There have been no reports here of Syrian regulars crossing the border into Lebanon, and such a move is thought unlikely, although there is some suspicion that a number of Syrian troops may be going in the guise of PLA fighting men. However, it's believed here that Damascus is moving cautiously so as not to provoke Israeli military intervention in Lebanon. Bruno Wassertile for CBS News in Tel Aviv.
The new Spanish government is preparing for more labor problems on Monday. Madrid subway workers are threatening another strike if agreement is not reached on their demands for higher wages. Workers at Chrysler Corporation have vowed to continue their strike until their wage demands are met. And bank employee walkouts are also likely to continue across the country. In all, between 100 and 200,000 workers are on strike in Spain. An American negotiating team has arrived in Madrid to continue talks on renewing leases for American bases on Spanish soil. The Spanish government has been asking for more military aid in return for continued American use of a submarine base near Gibraltar and four military air bases. Now, this message.
Lungs are for living, they are life and breath giving. Be good to your lungs, be a friend. Cause the set you've got is the only set you get. Protect and defend them to the end. And you'll all breathe better, yes you will, just as long as your lungs get their fill.
pure, fresh, smoke-free, non-polluted air, plus their share of tender love and care.
Now your lungs are two of the best friends you'll ever have. Treat them right, and they'll perform miracles for you. But remember, there are two things they don't care for: polluted air and cigarette smoke. Stay away from those.
And you'll all breathe better. Yes, you will, just as long as your lungs get their fill. Pure, fresh, smoke-free, non-polluted air, plus their share of tender love and care.
Your local lung association considers it a matter of life and breath.
State police in New Mexico are still searching for a gunman who took six hostages this weekend but released them all unharmed. The last two were taken, then let go on Sunday after they drove the gunman to Albuquerque. The gunman released four people, including a state policeman, on Saturday. The gunman is identified as a convicted murderer. He was working at the state boys' home when he escaped Saturday morning. This is Ann Crosman, CBS News.
CBS 4 Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook calls for patchy fog or low clouds tonight. Considerable low cloudiness and fog tomorrow and Tuesday, with partial afternoon clearing. Chance of night and morning drizzle. Highs in the upper 40s and lows in the upper 30s. And in downtown Seattle currently, it's 42 degrees, 40 at the airport. The barometer holding steady, it reads 30.49. And taking a look at sports, in case you haven't already heard, the Pittsburgh Steelers scored a safety, two field goals, and a touchdown in the final quarter to beat the Dallas Cowboys 21-17 in the Super Bowl at Miami. Pittsburgh now celebrates its second straight NFL title. Bud Carson, the Steelers' defensive coordinator, will be interviewed tomorrow by the New York Jets for the club's vacant head coaching job. In the NBA, two games played today. Phoenix beat Detroit 122-118. Boston dumped Milwaukee 97-94.
CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. I have an unusual story for you about two young people kept in seclusion from the world. Their minds stunted, their thinking warped, their fantasies soaring into the supernatural. What is real and what is unreal seem to be melting into each other in a weird and frightening dream. When Mary began to ask questions, Frieda Kurtz, the housekeeper, told her,
"It's to test you, to tease you." And they did that to Carol when she first came. She got to love them. We were all sad when she left.
On a Friday? Unlucky Friday?
How did you know?
I've heard all the gossip. I've heard about Gareth, too.
They told you about him?
Why are you trembling, Frieda?
You have seen him?
No. He used to work here, I understand. But you asked me if I'd seen him. I thought you and I were the only employees in this house.
Why, did I? I don't know what I meant by that. I must go. I must take care of the children. Don't ask me anymore.
Our mystery drama, Circle of Evil, was written especially for Mystery Theater by Sidney Sloan and stars Marion Seldes and Christopher Tabori. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Time Magazine. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Hello there. This is Tony Marvin for the National Leukemia Association. Please remember this name, Project Research. Now, in addition to our other services, our special effort, named Project Research, has been established to help deliver that knockout punch against leukemia. Won't you join me and throw your knockout punch? You'll be getting on a winning team. Send your tax-deductible donation today to Project Research, care of the National Leukemia Association, Box 3039, Garden City, New York. That's National Leukemia Association, Box 3039, Garden City, New York. Once again, this is Tony Marvin saying thanks to you for Project Research. We are committed to conquering leukemia.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals His Word. Throughout time, God has spoken to man in dreams. Jehovah said in the Old Testament, "Listen to my words. If a man be a prophet, I make myself known to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams." So, pay attention to your own dreams. They might well reveal flashes of the future, predictions and warnings of things to come. They may give you a glimpse of God's guidance to lead you back to the peace and security of His way. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
The old taxi had deposited her in front of Greystone Manor that dark, cold, rainy day in late autumn. Mary Richards almost changed her mind and called the taxi back to return her to the station. There was something ominous about the big, ugly Victorian house. It was too much like the illustrations she remembered from the gruesome fairy tales of her childhood. When she had dragged her heavy suitcases to the top of the stone steps, she stopped. She was suddenly gripped by a nameless fear, a crippling fear of the unknown. However, after a moment, she made her way to the large oak door and rang the bell.
Yes? I am Mary Richards. Oh, yes, yes, of course. You must be the new governess. I'm Frieda, Frieda Kurtz. I'm the housekeeper. Oh, come in out of the rain. Let me take your suitcase.
Oh, thank you, I can manage.
Now, follow me. Your room is back here, down this hall. See, the children's quarters are on the second floor. All the help have their quarters down here.
Oh, are there many servants?
Oh, it's funny the way I said that, help. You and I are the only help in this old house.
Really? But the house is so large.
Oh, we only use a small part of it. The rest is closed off. Used to be a big family living here. Big. 10 people all the time. Sometimes as many as 15, 16.
Oh, they're all away?
They're all dead. At least, most of them.
What?
All the grown-ups except Mr. Dykeman. William Dykeman. Then there are the two children, Andrea and Alex. You're to take care of them.
Oh, yes. Mr. Dykeman interviewed me at the agency in New York for the job.
He's Andrea and Alex's guardian. He's their uncle. Didn't he say anything about this place? What you were to do?
No. Just that I was to look after the children. Supervise their education until they would be ready for something more formal. Until they'd be old enough to go away to school.
Old enough? How old did he say they were, Andrea and Alex?
He didn't say. I gather they must be quite young. 5, 6.
Oh, dear. You're in for a surprise.
Surprise?
Andrea's 18. Alex is 20.
So you're the new nanny, are you? I wonder if you're going to like it here.
Oh, I think
Oh, shut up, Alex. You mustn't mind him, Miss Richards. He's always like this at first.
I like to play games. Don't you, Nanny? Hide and seek, that's my favorite. In this house, there are so many good places to hide. You'd never be found till it was too late.
Alex, stop it. Stop it, please.
I'll stop. I'll stop it for good. That'll make you happy. Bye, Andrea. Bye, Nanny.
Oh, please forgive him. He's not always rude, Miss Richards. You'll get to like him in time.
In time?
Well, Carol Wicker did. At first, she hated
him. Carol Wicker?
Well, she was the governess before you.
She left?
You might say that, Miss Richards. Look, may I call you Mary? It sounds so formal to call you Miss Richards.
Oh, of course. Now, this Miss Wicker, how long did she stay?
Oh, nearly 2 years. 1 year and 11 months. She left on a Friday. I always feel Fridays are unlucky, don't you, Mary?
No, not necessarily.
Oh, Carol hated them. She would weep in her room on Fridays.
What?
Oh, not for the first few months. But later, she would weep in her room. She was in love. And he...
Andrea, I wonder if you would mind changing the subject.
Oh, of course, Mary. I didn't know. I didn't think that...
Didn't think what?
That you had met him.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Gareth. Gareth Nordway. Oh, he's very handsome. And she was very much in love with him. He has a way with the
Please,
ladies.
Andrea, I do not wish to continue this.
So you've met him, too?
No, I haven't met him, and I don't wish to discuss this further.
You'll meet him, Mary. You'll meet him.
Yes?
We're having supper up in the playroom. Wouldn't you like to come up and eat with the children?
Come in, Mrs. Kurtz. I want to talk to you.
Oh, you haven't unpacked yet. Do you want me to help you?
No. As a matter of fact, I've decided that this job isn't exactly what I'd contracted for.
You're leaving?
Yes. I'm afraid this is more than I can handle. Mr. Dykeman gave me to understand that I'd be working with children.
They are children.
No. They are two young people who need attention, who seem to need psychiatric help, and I am not qualified for the job. I've placed a call to Mr. Dykeman in New York.
Oh, yes, I know. It's that crazy act they're putting on for you.
Act?
Sure. It's to test you, to tease you. It's only a joke. They did that to Carol when she first came, and she got to love them. We were all sad when she left.
On a Friday? Unlucky Friday?
Well, yes. How did you know?
I've had all the gossip. I've heard about Gareth, too.
They told you about him?
Yes. Why are you trembling?
Have you seen him?
No. Does he work here?
He used to. He was the chauffeur.
Used to work here. But you asked me if I'd seen him.
Oh, did I? I don't know what I meant by that. I must go and have my supper now. They're waiting.
Mrs. Kurtz, wait. What? Mr. Dykeman, please. Mary Richards calling.
What?
Well, when will he be back? Well, how can he be reached? I'm the governess. I mean, he hired me recently to take care of his niece and his nephew, and No. It's nothing to do with the salary. That's quite satisfactory. It's just that... When may I expect to hear from him? Well, if he doesn't call, I shall leave Greystone Manor on the 31st. That's 2 weeks and 3 days. Who's there?
It's Alex, Mary.
Yes, Alex?
May I come in?
Come in.
You've locked yourself away from us here in your room. We haven't seen you for the last 2 days.
Yes.
Haven't you been well?
There's nothing wrong with my health.
Well, I hate to bring this up, but aren't you our governess? Shouldn't you be teaching us something? Something useful? Well, that's what you're being paid for.
Alex, if we're going to speak to each other at all, you'll have to drop this snide manner.
Snide? Whatever do you mean?
You're not a child. Neither is your sister, so stop this childish teasing. I shall only be here till the end of the month.
You're... You're leaving us?
I accepted this job as a governess to take care of and teach young children. That's what I'm qualified to do. I'm not qualified to...
Say it. Go on, Mary, say it. You think I'm mad, don't you? You think Andrea is too, don't you?
I think...
My uncle does, too. That's why he keeps us here, away from the world. Why he hires governesses for us, to take care of us.
Why does he?
Because he can't let the story come out. Too unsettling. Impossible. Scandalous. He's ashamed of us.
I don't understand.
Perhaps it's better that you don't.
Alex? Alex, where are you?
Oh, that's Frida. She's looking for me.
Well, open the door and tell her where you are.
No.
Well, I will then. Mrs. Curtsy's here, and here with me.
Oh, there you are, you naughty boy, hiding from Frida. Now come, we're having tea upstairs in the nursery, and I've baked your favorite, apple kuchen.
No, I don't want any. I want to stay and talk with Mary. I've got things to explain to her.
No, you come.
I won't come.
Don't force him if he doesn't want to.
You stay out of this, miss. When I tell him to do something, he must do it.
But I'm...
And you are nothing here. I know all about your calling Mr. Dykeman, wanting to quit your job here, I know.
I told you I was going to call. I wasn't concealing it.
But he didn't speak with you, did he? Mr. Dykeman called me, told me what to do.
Well, why didn't he answer my call to him?
Because he wanted to talk to you in person. He's coming here to talk. And you will stay here until he comes.
The house doesn't look so gloomy when the sun is shining, does it?
Oh, Andrea, I thought I was alone out here.
You're very unhappy here, aren't you?
Oh, uncomfortable is closer to it. It's just that everything is so strange, so uncertain.
Like living in a dream?
Yes. Yes, like a dream, but not a very pleasant one.
You'll be going soon?
10 days.
I'm sorry. You can help us.
Help you?
Oh, Alex knows that, too. We want you to stay.
Oh, that's very flattering, Andrea, but I can't possibly help you. I don't even know what kind of help you need.
We can tell you. Show you. We need your strength. Please say you'll stay.
I'm only staying till the end of the month.
End of the month. Well, then... That'll have to do. That'll be long enough. Tonight, we will show you what we mean.
Hello? Yes?
Did I wake you, Mary?
No, I was reading. I wasn't asleep.
Please come to the large drawing room on the third floor as soon as you can.
What is it?
I can't tell you over the house phone, please.
Very well. It'll take me a few minutes to dress.
No. Just put on your robe. Come now, please.
I'll come right up. Andrea? Andrea? Strange. This is the room. Andrea? Perhaps she meant the room at the end of the hall.
No, Mary. She meant this one.
What? Who are you? I can't see you in the dark.
Don't be frightened, Mary.
You know me?
They've told me about you. You're beautiful.
Mary? Mary? Where are you?
Here, Andrea.
Oh, I was afraid you'd gone to the wrong place.
No. Aren't there any lights in this room?
Oh, there used to be, but the mice nibbled the wires, Alex says, and they don't work. I have a flashlight.
Light it.
There.
That's very strange.
What?
A moment ago, I spoke to a man in the dark. A man whose name you mentioned to me. Gareth?
Gareth Nordway. He was here. Where is he?
He left very suddenly. You told me about him. A chauffeur, wasn't he?
Oh, many years ago.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Flash your light here on the floor.
There are no footprints.
No.
The dust is heavy on the floor, and your footprints are plainly marked, as are mine.
But none for Gareth.
None.
The dead do not leave footprints, Mary.
I want an answer. I must have an answer.
Just accept what you see, what you hear.
Dead. He's been dead for nearly 15 years.
Dead, and yet not dead.
Oh, what sort of nonsense is this?
It is not nonsense. You spoke with him.
What are you trying to do to me? I don't believe in spirits and ghosts and the supernatural. It was some sort of trick, wasn't it? Tell me the truth.
Believe this. Gareth is here. Possibly right in this room.
No, I don't believe you. It's all in your minds. It's some morbid story that somebody told you when you were children. If this house frightens you and depresses you, why don't you run away from it? You don't have to stay.
But we do.
What?
We cannot leave. He won't let us leave. He holds us. He keeps us here. It is part of his revenge.
Revenge? Do you expect me to believe...
Revenge for his murder. He says he was murdered. And he will not stop until all of us, all of our blood, are dead.
Already, Mary Richards had fallen under the spell of the old house. She was beginning to believe the unbelievable. Had she really spoken to the spirit of Gareth Nordway? Or was this just a frightening thought conjured up by the strange young people who inhabit Greystone Manor? Perhaps we will find some of the answers in Act Two.
Isn't it nice to know you're free? To see the things you want to see. To touch the heights you dare to reach. To know you're all that you can be.
You seem to be in a hurry, sir.
Yes, I am.
You are in a hurry.
Oh, yes.
Well, no doubt you're rushing down to buy a Buick Electra because you know that Electra has the kind of ride and comfort Buick's famous for.
That's right.
And because you know it's America's second largest selling full-size luxury car.
You got it.
So you're hurrying because you want to get there before the Electras are all gone.
That's very good. How did you know I was going to buy a Buick Electra?
Well, it was on the shopping list you dropped back there. You see, dozen eggs, quarter milk, Buick Electra.
Son of a gun, I forgot the pistachio nuts.
That's not on the list.
Well, I forgot them anyhow.
Free spirit, Buick on the wings of the wind. How it's gonna be, your spirit's free.
If I could leave one thing with you, would I leave this earth behind? I'd like to leave a bright blue sky as my gift to all mankind. If I could choose just one small thing to the children, I'd be free. A life forever and healthy, something nice to breathe. Yes, this is my legacy, this is my prayer. Most of all, I'd leave you all with a breath of your fresh air.
Air pollution is a man-made product that grew up in a machine age, the result of a means to an end. But the end must change if we're to continue breathing. We can clean up the air, perhaps even in your time, but we need your help. Won't you? Join with your lung association in the fight against air pollution. It's a matter of life and breath.
Richard searched for an explanation of the events which had occurred, but which she, with her logical mind, could not accept. She waited impatiently for the arrival of William Dyckman, hoping that he could answer the questions to which she could find no answers. His first words were very reassuring.
I've come out here for one reason, Miss Richards, and one reason only, and... that is to put these stupid superstitions to rest once and for all.
You don't believe them, Mr. Dyckman?
Definitely not. They're rubbish. The product of idle minds, childish nonsense.
But I have seen him, seen Gareth Nordway.
You have been made to believe that you have seen him. Miss Richards, it must have occurred to you that Andrea and Alex are, well, how shall I say, not quite normal.
Well, their behavior is somewhat bizarre. Strange,
just
but...
pranks, childish pranks. Nothing serious, however, wouldn't you say?
But I'm not competent to judge. I'd say that it was more than childish pranks. Frieda told me that almost the entire family died in a rather mysterious fashion. Almost all at the same time. She seemed to hint there was something supernatural behind it all.
All that? Well, one can hardly call a serious epidemic of flu supernatural. We lost 8. No, 9 members of our family. It was a terrible tragedy. All together in this house, we must have passed the virus to each other. Terrible thing to happen to a family. Alex and Andrea were little more than infants at the time. It very definitely affected them.
I see.
By your tone, I can see you don't believe me.
If the two children were affected by this tragedy, if indeed it twisted their minds, why wasn't something more constructive done for them?
Why, Miss Richards,
why weren't they given a psychiatric help? Why were they kept here virtually prisoners instead of being taken to a more healthful place?
I find it difficult to answer that.
Why? Because you are responsible for keeping them here?
In a way, yes.
But what do you have to gain from all of this?
Well, now, really, Miss Richards, I cannot tolerate this interrogation from a...
A hired servant? Don't let that disturb you, Mr. Dyckman. I'm quitting this job as of the 31st. There is nothing that could induce me to stay on any longer. Good day.
Wait.
I have nothing more to say to you, Mr. Dyckman.
But you do intend to speak to others?
Yes. There's something hidden here that's festering like an infected wound. Something that needs the light of day.
If you mean that you intend to go to the police or force some sort of investigation...
I shall certainly do something of that sort.
Well, then let me warn you, you can be stopped very effectively.
Are you threatening me?
Threatening you? Oh, no, I wouldn't think of it. But I must, in your own interest, prevent you from causing yourself hardship. Yes, and perhaps even... injury.
Yes?
It's Andrea. May I come in?
Yes, of course.
I don't want to bother you.
Come in, come in. I was just reading. Was something troubling you? You look upset.
I am. My uncle called earlier and spoke to Frieda. He's hired another
governess. That was to be expected, since I am leaving at the end of the month.
No! You are leaving Friday. You haven't been told yet. That's the day she is arriving. Oh, if only Alex and I could go with you.
Well, why can't you?
You know why.
No, I don't. Andrea, who does all this belong to?
You mean this house?
All. The house, the grounds, the money, the entire estate.
Well, to Alex and me.
And your uncle?
Well, he's our guardian.
Oh, he manages the estate.
Until we're of age. 21 specifically. Alex will be 21 in 7 months, and I've got nearly 2.5 years to go.
And when that time comes, when you and Alex finally come into your money, Uncle will find himself in somewhat reduced circumstances.
But it never was his money.
He controlled it. He used it.
For us.
I wonder.
Mary. Mary, listen to me. I must speak to you, Mary.
Who is...
Mary, listen to me.
Who's there? Who is it?
Don't be frightened. I said don't scream. I will not harm you. I will let you speak if you promise not to scream again. Promise?
Yes. Yeah.
Good.
Who are you?
We have met before. Spoken before.
Oh, yes, that voice. I remember Gareth. Gareth Nordway.
I've seen you so many times. When you didn't know I was there.
What do you want?
going to tell you something, and I want your help.
Help? How can I help you?
To right a wrong. A wrong done me many years ago.
This is all a dream.
I was a servant here. A chauffeur. A lowly unknown. No family, no home. Cynthia was 18. Beautiful. A member of the rich and snobbish Dykeman clan. But she didn't see me as the dirty stable boy. That's what Uncle William called me when he found out she loved me. And I loved her. Well, we ran away, and we were married. For one ecstatic month, we hid while they searched for us. When they found us, Cynthia was dragged back here. An omen was planned. Then I came back, broken one night, to find my bride and take her away. It was then Uncle William stopped us. Shut me down like a stray dog. The last memory I have is the life ebbed from my body, and my blood reddened the white dress of my beloved. Was her scream piercing, hopeless?
Then you are...
Yes, I am dead.
Said that you expected I would help you.
You've already begun that. William fears you. He's afraid you'll search until you've brought that truth out.
Well, I suspected that something was being concealed.
You will search it out. Now you know. And you will.
No. No. This is a dream. It's not happening.
I'm asleep, and it's only a dream.
Going cycling again, Mary?
Oh, Alex, what are you doing in the garage? I hope you don't mind if I use your bike.
Not at all, since it's not mine. I've got another bike. Mind if I come along?
Well, I wasn't exactly going just for a ride.
Going into the village, then?
Alex, I had a strange dream last night.
It was Gareth, wasn't it?
However did you know?
It's his way. He's working on you. He told you a story, didn't he?
Yes, tragic. I almost wept for him.
Oh, he's won you over, Mary. The way he won Carol over. He wants your help. He'll try to use you. Listen to me, Mary. Gareth can be very persuasive when he wants to be. He can make you believe the most ridiculous things.
I don't want to hear any more about Gareth.
Let me tell you the true story. Or at least the official version of the tragedy.
I don't want to hear it.
You better listen. Cynthia was attracted to Gareth Norway. Everyone knows that. She flirted with him, some say. Whatever it wasn't love. Not on her part. Gareth kept after her, and finally...
They ran away together? They married?
No. He tried to get her to go away with him. She refused. He got angry. Wild. He kidnapped her. Uncle William chased them. Found them. Gareth drew his knife. Uncle William shot him.
That's how it was?
That's the way the police got the story. It was called self-defense. Case was dismissed.
And Cynthia...
He killed her. Or as the story goes, the first shot wounded him. But he was able to stab her with his knife. Uncle William fired at him again.
I believed him. I believed Gareth.
Carol Wicker believed him.
And committed suicide.
No.
But I heard...
She did not kill herself. She was murdered.
Deeper and deeper, Mary Richards plunges into the morass of claims and counterclaims. The circle of evil that surrounds the old gray house is being drawn tighter and tighter around the lives of all who dwell there. As though fighting up to the surface of a stagnant pool that threatens to suffocate her with its vile and rotting weeds, Mary reaches out for help. I'll be back in a moment with Act Three.
Well, your big TV debate will be on the air in 30 seconds, Senator.
I'm Hank Fime.
Don't worry, sir. You're the incumbent, and you'll eat him up.
Right.
Oh, there's your opponent now.
20 seconds, gentlemen.
Hank, what's my opponent carrying under his arm there?
It's a Time magazine.
Oh, no. It's probably this week's. I haven't even read it.
Easy, sir.
Hank, he'll be on top of everything. World affairs, law, economics, the movie reviews. I'll sound like a dodo out there.
10 seconds,
he'll
please.
Be bright. He'll be witty. And
Senator, put your thumb in your mouth.
Unless he only had time to look at Time magazine's cover. Oh, no.
Stand by, please.
Hank, I don't even know who's on Time's cover this week.
Sir.
Can you see who's on Time's cover?
Oh, I can't.
What if they ask me who's on Time's cover? What am I going to say?
And now, the candidates debate. On the left, we have the incumbent, Senator
Ethel Merman. No, she was on the cover of something else. Alice Cooper or Abe Bean?
Senator, all we want.
I know what you want. Is it a picture of a shark?
Just the name.
The shark didn't have a name. Give me a hint. Rover,
Senator.
Blackie.
Time makes everything more interesting, including you.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. Have you noticed the metric measurements on packaged foods at your supermarket lately? Soon the metric system of measurement will be commonplace all around the country, and you should be ready for it. Look carefully at the metric measurements on the foods you buy. They may seem bewildering at first, but they make a lot more sense than the system of measurement we're currently using. For example, right now, fluid measures are expressed in gallons, quarts, and pints. Dry measures are expressed in bushels, pecks, dry quarts, and pints. And a dry quart is 16% larger in volume than a liquid quart. By using the metric system, however, you only need to know one unit of measurement for liquid volume, the liter. All other fluid measurements are multiples of the liter. And similarly, dry volumes are measured by the gram and multiples of the gram. This has been a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system.
Mary Richards' sleep that night was filled with frightening dreams. Dreams of frustration in which she could not fight or defend herself from unknown and unnamed forces. She found herself slipping into a deep abyss, the sides of which afforded not the slightest foothold. Her fingers, clutching at the slimy walls, could grasp nothing. The next morning, clear and sunny, brought with it the resolution to take positive action, to reach out to the sane world outside for help.
Hello, County Coroner's Office, Mr. Lascombe. My name is Mary Richards. I'm inquiring about the late Carol Wicker. No, I'm not a relative. Let's say that I'm a friend. Was a friend. Yes. Now, I've read your report on her death. I got the transcript from the Bureau of Records. Well, I'm just a bit confused. Your original opinion was that she might have been struck with a club or some other blunt instrument. But your final opinion was that her death was caused by an overdose of sleeping pills. Well, I was just wondering why you changed your mind. New evidence. What new evidence? That she had been upset, melancholy, despondent. Well, who gave you that evidence? Oh, I see. Well, the reason for this call is to ask, how does one go about getting permission to exhume a body?
I'm not so sure you're doing the right thing, Mary.
After all, Carol was in a bad state of mind, unhappy, depressed.
And she knew something. Something which might prove embarrassing. It was your Uncle William who supplied the information that changed the coroner's opinion. Don't you find that interesting? I do.
You're jumping to conclusions, Mary.
Am I? All you know has been told to you, and you believe what you've been told.
Mary, we don't know what we believe anymore.
Well, where did you get your version of what happened to Carol Wicker?
Frieda told us.
And who does Frieda work for?
Frieda works for me, Miss Richards.
Mr. Dykeman.
Well, 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 children, now, are you going to greet Uncle William?
Good afternoon, Uncle William.
Uncle William.
Well, that's nice. Now, would you mind leaving the room? I should like to speak to Miss Richards in private.
Anything you have to say, it better be said in the presence of witnesses.
Witnesses? Children?
And I think you better stop referring to them as children.
Oh, well, very well, they may stay. Now, may I ask the purpose of your call to the county coroner?
I see the news of my call was relayed to you very quickly.
Well, do you think it's strange that Mr. Lascombe would call me?
No, not strange at all. I rather expected that he would.
I would like to dissuade you from your purpose. I think nothing will be gained by digging up the remains of poor Carol Wicker.
You can't change my mind. I have the exhumation order, and I have only to order the men from the cemetery.
Oh, yes, yes, I know. And I see you're not going to listen to me. So I'm going to make matters easier for you. I have ordered the men, the gravediggers, to be there tomorrow night at 9.
Good.
The remains will be delivered to the coroner for re-examination.
I would prefer that the examination be made by a doctor of my choosing.
Well, of course, but until you have engaged a man, the body will be sent to the county morgue. That is a state law. I have no control over it.
Thank you. You've been very helpful.
But don't mention it, Miss Richards. Anything to keep you and the children entertained?
Is that you, Alex?
Yes, Andrea.
Where have you been?
Upstairs, in the old part of the house.
Looking for him?
I thought he would want to speak to us.
Are you certain that he can?
That he... Are you beginning to have doubts?
I don't know. Uncle William is going to have us committed. I heard him speaking with Frieda. He said he'd had enough trouble. He doesn't care if the entire matter comes out.
We're going to be locked up, treated as though we're insane.
Isn't it possible, Alex, that we are?
No. No, we're just frightened, afraid. Don't tell me that Gareth is just something I imagined. You've seen him, too. Spoke with him as I have.
Yes, Alex.
Carol saw him, spoke with him, Mary, too.
Isn't it possible that we, you and I, have conjured him up? Perhaps he's nowhere but in our minds.
No. No, I'm not that mad. I'll not believe that. They can't lock me up.
What is this? Still up? It is long past your bedtime. Now go to your room at once, children, or I will punish you both.
Yes, Frieda. We're going right now. Aren't we, Andrea?
You rang for me, Mr. Dykeman.
Oh, yes, Mrs. Coates, I just wanted to tell you what my plans are as they concern you and your future.
Future?
Well, you'll be well taken care of. I'm settling a substantial sum on you, a sort of a annuity.
You're letting me go?
Well, let us say that I'm retiring you.
Oh, but this is so unexpected, so sudden.
Mrs. Coates, as you know, the welfare of the children has been my prime consideration for many years.
But I can take care of them. I can watch them.
Of course, I'm not criticizing you. It's just that I have decided we can't do it any longer on this level. They're grown people now, no longer children.
When am I to leave?
Well, there's my car waiting in the driveway. If you hurry, we'll be able to have you catch the 11:20 train at the station.
Yes, yes, tonight. So soon. Yes, I will go. I will be ready. But first I say goodbye to my children.
No. Under no circumstances are you to let them know that you're going. It would be very bad for them.
Oh, yes. Yes, I will do as you say.
A little after 9, I think.
9:20. I checked my watch before we left. Andrea, do you know the man driving?
No. But Uncle William said he would send a car for us. Probably some man from the village.
I tried to speak to him. He didn't give me much of an answer. Just mumbled something about driving us to the cemetery.
Is it very far from the house?
Why, that's it. Just up ahead.
Oh, this is it. We'll have to walk from here.
Oh, driver, will you wait for us here?
Follow me. I know where it is.
Alex, don't run ahead. Wait for us.
Come on. It isn't too far.
I don't like being here, Mary.
Neither do I.
Oh, I recognize the area now. This is the Dyckman family plot. And Carol was buried just up ahead.
Andrea! Mary, come quickly. Hurry.
Come on, sounds frightened.
We're coming, Alex.
Look.
Oh,
it's empty.
The grave is empty. It was dug up. And the body removed.
Oh, it's obvious that your Uncle William never intended to go through with the re-examination.
But he never tried to block you. At least he said he never would.
Why did he go through this whole business of digging up the body and bringing us here to see what he had done? The car! The car that brought us here! It's leaving! Stop! Wait! Stop!
Hold your breath, Alex. He won't stop.
How are we to get back?
You might ask that question of your Uncle William.
Why, yes, that's an excellent suggestion, Miss Richards. But we must hurry. There isn't too much time left.
Why did you take the body of Carol Wicker from her grave?
I had two reasons, dearest nephew. One, I didn't want the body re-examined for obvious reasons.
It really was murder, then. Not suicide, as the coroner's report says.
Oh, my dear niece, you have an absolute genius for the obvious. Yes. The report is in error.
Carol Wicker was murdered by you.
As you have suspected for some time.
Why did you kill poor Carol?
She snooped around and snooped around until she came upon the truth.
That your story of how Gareth died was a lie.
Yes, I shot him down. I killed him. I don't believe in giving a rabid dog a chance to bite.
You brought us here to make a confession of your crime?
I brought you here, Miss Richards, to tie up all the loose ends neatly. You're all going to die right here.
No! No!
No, Uncle William couldn't. Why us? What have we done to you?
You stand in my way. The Dyckman money will be mine.
You can't. You'll be discovered.
By whom? There'll be no witnesses. No one will investigate your disappearance.
Gareth, help us. Help us. He is your murderer. He's here.
Oh, keep calling if you think it will do you any good. Gareth Nordway is dead and buried. He cannot help you.
You wanted revenge. Here he is, the man who killed you.
All right, line up now. Line up as I'm telling you.
Gareth, come now.
I shall have to shoot you then where you'll stand and drag your bodies into the pit if you...
Gareth, come, face your enemy.
Gareth, save us.
You see, Miss Richards, they are stunted human beings, as I said. Wouldn't it be better to end it all and let them find peace? Poor mad creatures.
You are the madman.
Perhaps. But I control the situation, and it shall be as I want it to be. You will all be dead and silent, and no one will be the wiser. No.
No, no, please, please.
No, no. I will stop you. I must stop
you. Stand back, will you?
I've got the gun.
Boy, you shot me.
I'm...
Quick. Alex, he's fallen. He's shot. Alex.
Did I stop him?
Yes, Alex. He's dead.
Gareth, why didn't you help me? I did it. I was able to do it.
I had to let you become a man, Alex.
And have I, Gareth? Have I become a man? Why doesn't he answer me?
He doesn't have to. You've proven yourself, Alex. You know the answer. I just checked with the ticket agent. The train's on time.
I'm almost sorry. I hate to see you leaving.
I must. And you'll be all right now, Andrew. Oh, are you sure you won't reconsider and come back to the city with me?
No. I've definitely decided to stay in the old house. So many memories.
Well, if you ever change your mind, you know where and how to reach me.
I know. The old house will be different now. It feels different. The gloom seems to have lifted, and everything seems brighter. If only Alex...
Now, you promised not to dwell on that.
Yes, I'll keep my promise. But I wanted to say that I'm so proud. Yes, that's the word. So proud of him. He worried that he was weak and ineffectual.
But when the time came to be strong, he met the test.
I have a feeling. I know. That if I stay in Greystone, I will see him again. He'll be there always.
As the train began slowly pulling out of the station, Mary Richards could see the lonely figure of a young girl standing wistfully looking after the departing train. Then she saw Andrea turn and make her way back to the old station taxi, get in, and start to Greystone Manor, empty now of all but its ghosts. I'll be back shortly.
Box 576, New York, 10016. That's Box 576, New York, 10016.
What is real and what is unreal? It's a question which has troubled man since he began to reason. Some say the answer can be found in our primeval fear of the dark, a carryover from our early days on this earth. There are others who believe that there are forces beyond our comprehension, forces which control us, guide us into good or evil. What do you think? Our cast included Marion Seldes, Christopher Tabori, Mary Jane Higby, Rosemary Rice, and Ian Martin. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Are you telling me, Mr. Starrett, that in this show business, in that future time you claimed to have visited...
I did visit there. I was there.
The actors actually died?
They actually did whatever you saw them do, Doctor. They were eaten by sharks, by wild animals, they drowned, they starved... They died in the operating room, whatever the story called for.
There must have been many dead actors.
You think of all those shows, I would say easily 100 would be killed each week.
But where did they find so many actors?
Well, they weren't really actors. They were just convicts.
Convicts?
Well, what I mean is, Doctor, they were convicted of crimes.
Serious crimes must have been very prevalent in that future world.
Serious? Anything was serious. You said something bad about your superior. That was serious. You had it. You were in showbiz.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Time Magazine and Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
could hear the difference. Brightened, beautiful music. KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. The United States gets its turn to speak Monday as the UN Security Council resumes its Middle East debate. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The United States has promised Israel it will do all in its power to prevent a realignment of the national roles in any forthcoming Middle East peace talks. The implied threat of an American veto has given considerable pause to the Arab Nations Strategy Group in attempting to frame a resolution that might provide a workable formula for reaching peace in the Middle East. The key phrase Palestine Liberation Organization representatives and their supporters want included in the resolution is inalienable Palestinian rights. But since that is taken by Israel to be code words for making Palestinians principals in peace talks and returning at least part of Israel to Palestinians for an autonomous state, its inclusion could trigger the veto. U.S. Ambassador Daniel Moynihan has given no advance indication of whether he'll attempt to tell the council just what the United States will and will not accept. The Middle East's biggest problem of the moment is Lebanon, where the civil war apparently has reached its most explosive stage in 9 months, and a key government figure has stepped down. Doug Tunnell reports from Beirut.
A somber Rashid Karami announced that he is resigning as Lebanon's premier and minister of defense. Karami, who is a Muslim, watched as countless ceasefire agreements collapsed in salvos of mortar and rocket fire in Lebanon's war-torn capital. His government, dubbed the Government of Salvation 8 months ago, has emerged virtually powerless in the face of an escalating civil war. And with his 18th ceasefire since September in a shambles, the Muslim leader announced he is stepping down. Karami has long opposed intervention by the Lebanese military to quell the rising tide of violence in Lebanon. But on Friday, Air Force jets openly sided with right-wing and Christian gunmen in the fighting, rocketing Palestinian and Muslim positions south of Beirut. In his capacity as Minister of Defense, Karami acted as a buffer between the Lebanese army and left-wing and Palestinian factions here, and now that buffer is gone. Doug Tunnell for CBS News, Beirut.
More news following this message.
Could be one less hungry child in the world because of you.
Box 576, New York, 10016. That's Box 576, New York, 10016.
The nation's political focus will be on Iowa Monday as some 85,000 Democrats and Republicans make known their preferences for presidential candidates. More on that story from John McCarroll of CBS radio affiliate KRNT in Des Moines.
The nation will get its first indication who Democrats and Republicans on a statewide basis favor for president. More than 5,000 precinct caucuses will be held in Iowa, the first such caucuses in the country this election year. Most of the 11 Democratic presidential hopefuls have visited Iowa, six of them spending a total of more than 80 days here. The people who attend the Democratic caucuses will be asked to state who they favor for president, providing the first formal test of candidate popularity. On the Republican side, the caucuses will not reveal as much. Only 2% of the caucuses will be polled to see who is favored, President Gerald Ford or Ronald Reagan. Mr. Ford has not visited Iowa in an effort to gain caucus support, but he has a strong backer in Iowa Governor Robert Ray. Reagan has made one stop here. This is John McCarroll for CBS News in Des Moines.
More CBS News in a moment.
Hi, this is Tony Orlando.
And Dawn.
Thelma.
And Joyce.
Talking to the...
Tony Orlando and Dawn are talking to people who have found bright new careers by going to technical school. Joyce?
So here's Fred Parm, almost 40, can't walk, and without a job. What did you do, Fred?
Fred went back to school.
he took art.
I could draw before I could write, so I tried illustration.
Well, how'd you do?
Fine. I'm now employed as a technical illustrator.
If you don't like the work you do, learn to do the work you like. Get a free Tony Orlando record. You can be more than you are. And the facts on how you can learn to do the work you like at technical school. Write Careers, Box 111, Washington, D.C., 20044. Careers, Box 111, Washington, D.C., 20044.
Going back to school was a good idea, wasn't it, Fred?
Just like a second birth, Joyce.
This was a public service announcement of this station, the U.S. Office of Education, and the Advertising Council.
Austria's 1969 Women's World Cup ski champion, Gertrude Gabel, has been killed by an avalanche in the Austrian Alps. Police reported the 27-year-old skier, who also represented their country in the 1972 Sapporo Olympic Winter Games, was surprised by the snowslide while skiing with her husband on Gamsberg Mountain. Her husband escaped injury, but by the time rescuers dug her out from beneath tons of snow, she was dead. Gertrude Gabel, dead at 27. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The time, 11:06.